Lesson 3, Supernatural Manifestations and Gifts. Tonight, we're going to learn there are two ways that God brings healing to a person. Special manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and faith being one of those manifestations. And then later in Lesson 4, faith, and Pastor Bill is going to talk about that. And it's called My Faith, and that's a fruit of the Spirit. But we're going to talk about manifestations of the Spirit. I'm going to focus on that tonight. And also, we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, because there's so many different teachings out there, and there will always be all kinds of teachings out there, but we're going to try to clarify it as best as we can. So first, we're going to explore the gifting, and then the ministries and manifestations of the Spirit. And then Bill will teach on faith as the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we're going to be talking about faith tonight, but we're going to teach on them separately so it'll be a little easier to distinguish the different kinds of faith. Because when you do them all in the same lesson, it gets a little confusing. So we're going to try to separate it. And it's very important so that you'll understand the role of faith in healing. In the healing process, many times people get a guilt complex, because they'll say, well, I didn't have enough faith to get that person healed that I was being prayed for. Or the person being prayed for gets a guilt complex because they say, I didn't have enough faith to get healed. Well, we hope this teaching will help clarify any misunderstanding of what the gifts are and how faith is a fruit of the Spirit, but also a manifestation of the Spirit, and how faith plays a role in healing. If you have your Bibles, and if you want to, or you can use your notes, you have an Addendum A. And if you want to look in your manuals and pull out Addendum A, excuse me. It looks just like that. We're going to refer to what is the gifts of the Spirit. Okay. I'm going to do this. This is Addendum A. This is Addendum
A. Go into Lesson 3. At the back of Lesson 3 is Addendum A.
It's page 24. So what we're going to talk about right this moment is the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we have Addendum A here, and you would notice it has three columns on the left, middle, and on the right. And we're going to discuss each column, and it's going to help you understand better. Now, there is a misunderstanding on what 1 Corinthians 12 teaches. Now, I also want to bring to your attention, at the bottom, you will find some scriptures. And these scriptures have some words that have the Greek words, and it breaks it down. So hopefully that's going to help you. Now, there's a misunderstanding on 1 Corinthians 12. Let's look at the first verse. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Now concerning spiritual gifts, all the New King James, the NIV, and the New American Standard uses that word gifts, spiritual gifts. And it says, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. That's the New King James Version. It says, I do not want you to be ignorant. The NIV says, I don't want you to be uninformed. And the New American Standard says, I do not want you to be misinformed or unaware. We have people say, well, I don't have the gift of healing. I only have a few of the 9 gifts found in 1 Corinthians 12. I've prayed and I've asked God, but He hasn't given me that gift. Well, we've taught this lesson to pastors and elders and leaders of ministries, and we've even had one pastor that said, well, I only thought a few select people have gifts. And if any at all, just one. You see, he didn't understand this passage either. And quite honestly, when I began in the healing ministry, I didn't understand it. All I knew is what I'd been taught. They were all gifts. And I thought only people like Benny Hinn have the gift of healing. I'm glad I understand a little bit better now, and I'm hoping by the time this night is over, you'll have a very clear understanding of what we call the gifts. Now, in the original Greek language, the word gifts is not there. It's not there. The word is pneumonikon, and the word gifts was added by the translators to help people understand the passage. If your Bible has the word gifts, it's in italics, and normally it means it's been added. It's been added by the translators. Over the years, this has caused more confusion than understanding, because immediately the translators' word, when they use the word gifts, it messes everything up. It gets very confusing. In the original Greek language, what Paul really said was, now concerning spirituals. The word is spirituals, and it means spiritual things, spiritual matters. I want you to have some certain information about these spiritual things, these spiritual matters. And then in verses 4-6, Paul follows with an explanation of what these spiritual matters or these spiritual things are. He didn't say spiritual gifts. He says spiritual matters. And then if we look in verses 4-6, we're going to see there are different words. Verse 4 is gifts, but verses 5 and 6 are different. In verse 4, this is reading from the New King James Version, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And then notice in verse 5, it says there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And then in verse 6, there are differences or diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works in them all. For the sake of consistency, diversities, differences, and varieties, they're the same word. It's the same Greek word. But the translators, the English translators, used different words. So in these three different verses, we're talking about three different things, not all spiritual gifts. And in these three verses, there's actually three classifications, three different things we're talking about. Verse 4, it's gifts. We'll get to that in a moment. It really is gifts. That's the New King James Version, the way that was translated. In verse 5, the word is actually ministries. The NIV says services. And in verse 6, it says activities or operations of the Spirit. That's the New King James Version. And the NIV says working, and the New American Standard says effects. I like that translation better because it's a little bit more understandable. Effects or operations of the Spirit. Now you can see why, with all these different ways of saying it, why it would cause so much confusion. Let's look at the first classification in verse 4. And this is the only time where gifts is used properly. You'll find in Addendum A of your manual a column on the left. And this column says at the beginning, diversities of gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now the New King James Version says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And that first word gifts is the Greek word charismata. It comes from the word charisma. We get our word charismatic from it. And charisma means a joyous grace gift. It's the word for grace, free gift. It's a free gift, a divinely conferred endowment from God to man. So it's something from God to man, and it's given to every true Christian. Now, the purpose of these gifts is God gives to every believer a capacity or a motivation for service so that the believer can build up the body of Christ or be motivated in the body of Christ. It's a motivational gift. Now, there are 7 Greek words that are used or translated as gifts in the New Testament. But in this passage, verse 4, we're talking specifically about a free gift, something that is freely given. Well, so where is this word, charismata, free gift, found in the New Testament? Paul refers to charismata, or freely given gifts, that we don't have to ask for in Romans 12, 6 through 8. Reading from the NIV, Romans 12, 6 through 8. We have different gifts, free charismata, remember, free gifts, according to the grace freely given. And this is the NIV. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. In this passage, Paul refers to seven gifts, seven charismata, free gifts, that he spoke about in 1 Corinthians 4. They're referring to each other. So Romans 12, 6 is referring to 1 Corinthians 12 and 4. Well, what are those free gifts? They're right here on your list. Column 1, prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging or exhorting, contributing or sharing or giving, leadership and mercy. And what Pastor Bill and I believe is these scriptures indicate that everyone is given at least one free gift that's in this column. At least one. That means each and every one of us as Christians can operate in at least one of these free gifts at one time or another. I think that's kind of exciting, isn't it? Some may actually operate in more than one. Notice verse 6 says in Romans 12, verse 6 says, let him use it in proportion to his faith. That's the NIV. Let's go a little further in column 1 on the left. What these free gifts do in column 1 is it motivates you towards something. It motivates you. And what you operate in the first column, listed on the left, it actually motivates you in a ministry in column 2, which we'll get into in just a moment, or the way the Holy Spirit operates through you in column 3, listed on the right. So your gift, that freely given gift, motivates you toward ministry and or manifestation of the Spirit. And these nine manifestations are available to your ministry. So, hope that clarifies what the true gifts really are that motivate you to do something. Okay, let's look in the middle column. Column 2, diversities of ministries. If you look at verse 5, the next distinction of spiritual matters, remember, spiritual things that Paul talks about are not gifts. We see that Paul is talking about ministries that these spirituals work in. 1 Corinthians 12:5, Paul talks about different kinds of service in column 2. And that word service is used in NIV. And these diversities of ministries in column 2 are often translated mistakenly as gifts. So let's go back and look at 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6, because there's three classifications, remember? The first classification was charismata, free gifts. The second classification is in verse 5, and we find that classification to be service. 12:5 says, and this is the NIV, there are different kinds of service, or depending upon which translation, ministries, but the same Lord. I like that word ministries better. The Greek word for service in this situation, the original word is diakonion, from diakonia. And it means service or ministry or ministering. And we get our English word deacon from it, like diakonia, deacon. and it refers to a function or a ministry within the body of Christ. So these are functions or ministries in the middle column in the body of Christ. Well, does the Bible show us what these ministries are? Yes. Later in verses 27 and 28 in that same chapter at the bottom, Paul partially names what they are. He only gives part of them. So if you're looking in column 2, 1 Corinthians 12, 20 through 27 in the middle says, and this is the NIV, verse 27, now you're the body of Christ and each of you is part of it. So he's talking to the church, right? And in the church, God has, notice that word appointed, God has appointed first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts or ministries of healing, and that word is accurately used, those able to help others, those with gifts, ministries of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. There are eight functions or ministries listed. Not freely given, but appointed by God, ministries. What are they? They're right here. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administration or governings, and different kinds of tongues. And we also find some additional information in Ephesians using that same translated word, diakonion, that Paul uses here. That means ministry or service. Another scripture, the same one. And if you look at Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, the New King James, you'll find two more ministry functions that are not referenced from 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 28. And what are they? They're pastor and evangelist, and they're from the same Greek word. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, this is the New King James version I'm reading from. It was he, speaking of Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service or ministries, same word, so that the body of Christ may be built up. So added to the list from Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 is pastors and evangelists. These ministries do the work of service. And in this Ephesians passage, we have what is called the fivefold ministry. How many is familiar with that? The fivefold ministry. Yeah. And between these two passages, some words are duplicated or overlapped, but if you combine the two lists in 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through 30, and Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, what you have is 10 ministries or functions within the body of Christ. Now, something interesting about that, when I say there's 10 in the Bible, the number 10 refers to human government. Isn't that interesting? And thus, these 10 ministries, with them, we're able to govern ourselves as we minister in the body of Christ to one another or to others that God brings along. So that's the purpose of these ministries. Now, I want you to hang with me just a little longer. This is all going to make sense. First, we have free gifts, and then we have appointed ministries. So what we see are ministries, appointed ministries that many function in separately or combined with the gifting they're endowed with. So God gives me a gift, and then He uses it in a ministry or a service. That's why we're talking about tonight is healing ministry. Some of us have a gift to use it in certain ministries, and we'll see how it all comes together. Okay, so why do you see some people that suddenly never have demonstrated what they thought was any special gifting or ministry suddenly move in a gift when the Holy Spirit's moving? Why does that happen suddenly, like during altar calls or crusades or other times? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look at column number 3. Column number 3 on the right. The third classification is manifestations of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 6. Paul refers to the workings or the manifestations of the Spirit. Now, this is a very important passage to understand. These diversities of manifestations are what we want to focus on now for the sake of understanding manifestations of the Spirit, in specific, one of those being faith as a manifestation of the Spirit because of the healing ministry. Let's look at verse 6. The NIV says there are different kinds of working. The New King James says there are diversities of activities. The New American Standard says, which I like best, there are varieties of effects. And then it goes on to say, but the same God works in all of them in all men. That was the NIV. So there are varieties of effects, and it's talking about the way the Holy Spirit moves, but it's the same God working in all of them. So let's talk about the word working here. That's translated from the NIV. The Greek word here, working, is energema, and it translates to working or operations or effects or activities of the Spirit, meaning the way the Spirit moves or works through us. The way the Spirit works through us. And this word energema talks about the energy or the mighty workings of the Spirit of God. It's something that is spiritually induced. It's not something we work up ourselves. This is something the Holy Spirit does through us. And it's a word that refers to showing something or making something happen. In other words, the Holy Spirit shows something or makes something happen. The Holy Spirit. And under this last category in 1 Corinthians 12:6, Paul refers to the activities or the operations of the Holy Spirit, or as we refer to the supernatural workings of the Holy Spirit. And then Paul elaborates in verses 7 through 10. Then he talks about it. When these activities or operations of the Holy Spirit happen, what we see is manifestations of the Holy Spirit. When these operations happen, what we see is manifestations of the Holy Spirit, which means it'll be demonstrated in our service. In other words, the Holy Spirit moves and we see a demonstration. We see the Holy Spirit, he kind of comes in this wave, and all of a sudden we see something happen. The energy of the Holy Spirit produces a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and we see a supernatural demonstration. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10 again, reading from the NIV. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now I want to break down verse 7. Let's read it again. Now to each one, that's me and you, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. In other words, a manifestation is how the Spirit reveals himself for the common good. Who's the common good? That's the body of Christ, me and you, as the Spirit sees fit. Verse 8, to one there is given the Spirit of message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by the same, by means of the same Spirit, to another faith. Remember, we're going to be talking about faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. Number 10, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Verse 11 says, he gives to the body of Christ according to the need that he determines, and that means whatever is needed at that moment. Pay attention here. This word manifestation is the word phanerosis in Greek, and it means reveal. It means to show by word or deed. In other words, something's going to happen. Something's going to be said, or something is going to be done. Something's going to be shown. This is important because the Holy Spirit uses someone to reveal something. Someone's, me and you, to reveal something that the Holy Spirit wants the body of Christ to know. The verbal form of this word means to make visible. or to make something known that's been hidden or unknown, and to bring it out in the open. And that'll make sense in a minute. So the Spirit reveals or makes something known. And this energema, or this operation of the Holy Spirit, is made through a manifestation. Well, what's a manifestation? A manifestation's a sign. It's evidence of something. You see a sign, or you see evidence of something. Paul lists 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and these manifestations are Holy Spirit induced. They are not gifts, but they're evidences or signs given to the body of Christ, things that the Spirit of God wants us to know or wants us to make use of. The word charismata is not used here. The word manifestation is used, or sign. And these evidences or signs, these manifestations, are found in verses 7 through 10, column number 3. And they are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, various or different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. If you look at the third column in the middle of the list where the words are italics, it says the energema, or the mighty workings of the Holy Spirit, produces phanerosis, signs, to reveal something to the body of Christ. In other words, the mighty workings of the Holy Spirit produces a manifestation to give us a sign of something, so we will know something. So the Holy Spirit's energy is shown here, and it's revealed by the working through someone else, through a manifestation. So what does all this mean? Why do we make all the distinctions? Why? How does this even apply to the healing ministry? The Holy Spirit is the energy. It's the power. It's the ability to get things done. Sometimes we in ourselves, we can't get anything done without the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's the energy of the Holy Spirit that gets it done. And just as He works through us, there is a sign or a manifestation of that power so that everyone can see it. And I make this distinction because it's not a gift. It's a sign. Well, this is good news, because that means we can walk, that's me and you, we can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can walk with a demonstration, and we can be used by the Holy Spirit in one of those ways in column 3. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then all of these manifestations are available to you. Each and every person in here, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit are available to you when the Holy Spirit wants to move on you to get something done. And we're talking about the healing ministry. Keep that in the back of your mind. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. The one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. It's the New American Standard Version, NASB. Well, what does this mean? A manifestation is a sign. It's an evidence of something, and it points to something. Paul says there are manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and thus they reveal the working of the Holy Spirit in and through a believer's life. Well, how does that affect us? How do these manifestations of the Holy Spirit affect us? Well, there are 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit in verses 7 through 10 in column 3, and we're going to break them down. They're right here. The 3 categories are revelation, power, and vocal. 3 different categories. Revelation, something is revealed. Revelation means something's revealed. Word of knowledge, or a word of wisdom, or discerning of spirits. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal something. There is the power manifestation, something we usually can see. Gifts of healing, miracles, faith. Powers work through a demonstration you can see. And then there are the vocal, inspirational ones. Usually something is spoken. Those are prophecy, various tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And we're not going to talk too much about the vocal manifestations, because they usually aren't used very much in the healing ministry, but revelation and power manifestations are. So if you don't understand prophecy in tongues and speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues, you can ask us later. But first, what we're going to do is discuss the purpose, because we've talked about what they are. The Holy Spirit uses us to reveal something. We're going to find out what the purpose is. Number one, these signs show us that God is in control. God is sovereign. And with these manifestations, God can intervene and display His sovereignty and control over the church and, yes, even the world. God, who is invisible, can break into our now, and He can change things, and He can overrule certain natural laws. Well, we all know that, right? God can break in any time, and He can overrule natural laws through His power working in and through us. And these manifestations, they lift us above. When the Holy Spirit's working through us, it lifts us up, above our natural abilities. They're supernatural abilities. They are not natural abilities. This is not natural intuition or natural intellect. Rather, it's all supernatural, and God shares it with us. These manifestations enable all believers to contribute to the common good, and all of us can participate, and all of us can give something back to edify the body of Christ. I want you to think about that. When we start going through what these things mean, think about, we can all participate. We can all be used by the Holy Spirit. We get to be part. This is not for some special group of people or select denomination. Not just one, but all believers can participate. And you can expect to work in all of these. You can, as the Holy Spirit sees fit, as the need arises. And as we go through this list and we break it down, I want you to think about, the Holy Spirit could use me for that. Some of you may have never been used in this capacity, and this may be just a new horizon for you, just a new journey. I know when the Lord started working through me, it was a wild ride. Okay, let's look first at the first group of manifestations, and these are the revelation manifestations. Now, we want you to really understand these, because these get really discombobulated and misunderstood by so many people and so many different denominations. So we want you to understand what they are. The revelation manifestations are word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and a discerning of spirits. Let's look first at 1 Corinthians 8, which Paul talks about the word of knowledge. With the word of knowledge, you suddenly know a fact. You know something. A word of knowledge gives us facts. It's a supernatural impartation of facts to a person by the Holy Spirit, something you did not know before. It's a direct revelation by the Holy Spirit, and something, and all of a sudden you just know something you didn't know before. That's the word of knowledge. And this impartation of knowledge comes in many ways. And this needs to be understood. This is the way the word of knowledge works. How do you know something? Well, suddenly when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you may feel something. You may sense pain or discomfort. How many times does your pastor or an evangelist or a visiting person say, I believe there's someone out there that they need their hip prayed for, or they have a pain in their neck? Have you had that happen before? Have you seen that? We see it all the time. And that means they are sensing through a word of knowledge that someone has something wrong. They can feel it. They can sense discomfort. Or they can see it. They can get a mental picture in the mind of the problem. I remember one time I walked into a room and I was getting ready to do divorce care. And suddenly there was a man. He was just right there in front of me. And I could see what he was going through. I could, yeah. His marriage was falling apart. It was falling to pieces, and the Lord just showed it to me. Or you can read it. Now, this is strange, but it really happens. You can see a word or a sign across a person. I've literally seen, when the Holy Spirit moved and I was working in the prayer room, I would see the word across the person, what the Lord wanted me to know. Or you think it. the Lord just speaks the word and you just hear it. You just know. You just know it. Or, this is really cool, I love it when it happens, say it. All of a sudden, when the Holy Spirit moves on you, you just say it. While you're talking with the person, all of a sudden something comes out that is so supernatural, you know it was the Holy Spirit. Or you end up praying it. When you're praying for that person, all of a sudden you start praying things that you had no idea, and that's the Holy Spirit. Some people dream it. You can have it by a dream. Or you can experience like an open vision, like a dream, but you're not asleep. To me, when I am working sometimes with the person in the altar of the prayer room, I will have a video clip. It's just like you just saw television just for a minute, a video clip. And the Lord just shows you the things. So these are all words of knowledge. Suddenly you find it this way and you know something because you saw it, you sensed it, you felt it, you dreamed it, whatever. That is a word of knowledge. You know a fact. Hold on to that. Also in 1 Corinthians 12:8, Paul talks about another revelation manifestation is the word of wisdom. Often confused with the word of knowledge. It's different. The word of wisdom directs knowledge. What you have just been told, wisdom directs it. It's directive. It directs something or someone. And it's a special ability to offer advice or guidance or the answer. You just may have the answer for someone. Make sure if you have the answer for someone, it's the Holy Spirit, okay? And the word of knowledge gives us facts, but the word of wisdom tells us how to use the facts. It's great to know something, but if the Holy Spirit doesn't give you wisdom and how to use it, sometimes it's just a fact, and you just kind of have to hold on to it. Proverbs 15:2 in the New King James says, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. So if you're wise, you use the word properly. What's important is wisdom is knowledge in action. It's taking the knowledge you have and using it wisely. You know what to do with the information or the fact. And wisdom is the right or the proper application of the knowledge. We can apply knowledge with skill because through wisdom, we can see things the way God sees them. We can suddenly see and understand something through this supernatural revelation because God plants it in us. And we can see things as God sees them. Now, I want to just give you, make a little note. And I just wrote a note in here. There's been many times that I have seen someone at the altar be given a word of knowledge at the altar. And suddenly the person being prayed for, someone else says, well, what does that mean? Can you tell me what God's going to do? What does it mean? Well, unless the Lord or the Holy Spirit gives you a word of wisdom to use it, you don't say. Because what you're doing is you're playing God and you're saying, oh, thus saith the Lord, this is what's going to happen. Be sure you know what you're talking about because I've seen it directed wrong. And it's wonderful when the Lord guides you and suddenly you know and you can speak it, but you need to be very careful. The two don't always necessarily come at the same time. And you can always pray and say, Lord, would you give me a word of wisdom with this? It's like I told one lady one time, she's always have a word of knowledge with that's great. And she said, but what am I supposed to do with it if the Lord doesn't give me wisdom? I said, you sit on it. And you pray for that person, you know, because sometimes God just wants us to pray. I mean, I knew that man that was sitting back there. I could see the turmoil. I could see the things that was happening in his marriage. But the Lord did not give me a word to go and speak to him. So what I would say is, if you have a situation like that, pray for that person. If it's just for that moment, just pray for that person. So what we need to do is walk in maturity. Because the two don't always come at the same time. Walk in maturity and make sure you're doing what the Holy Spirit is telling you. So we have the word of knowledge and we have the word of wisdom. Let's look at discerning or distinguishing of spirits. 1 Corinthians 12:10. Remember, verse 10 says, to another distinguishing between spirits. Now you hear people say, I have the gift of discernment. And you know what? I have no problem with people saying that. It's an improper terminology, but it's okay. But they say, I have the gift of discernment. I can feel or sense what God wants me to say, or I just know things. That's improper terminology. It's not the gift of discernment. Discernment is the discernment of spirits. It's different. It is different. Now, I will say, I'm discerning that the Lord is, you know, wanting such and such and so and so. And that just means basically means I'm sensing the Lord this, this, or this, or this. But in reality, the Bible says discernment of spirits. Now, discernment of spirits is the ability given by the Holy Spirit to supernaturally look into spiritual realm, to recognize, identify, and distinguish different kinds of spirits that are being manifested. There are many, many, many people that can see into the supernatural realms. It seems like at times I walk in that and I can just see everything. And other times it's just really quiet and silent and kind of not. I don't see it. I would like to say that I see angelic or holy things as much as I see the dark. I don't. I don't know why. It would be nice if I did. But it's the supernatural ability when the Holy Spirit wants you to be able to see in spiritual realms. It's a spiritual ability into the supernatural revelation of the plans and purposes of the enemy. God is giving you a glimpse into the purposes and the plans of the enemy. It's the spiritual ability to see into where there are spiritual beings at work, you know, like in a room or in a prayer room or in a sanctuary. What are the spirits? Number one, there's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. There are angels. They're both good and evil. And there are also demons, principalities, powers, and human spirits, and spiritual wickedness. And many people don't know what powers are, but powers usually affect electricity, or they appear like electricity, or it affects electrical things. So there are all kinds of spirits. We know about the Spirit of God. There's angels, good and evil, demons, principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness, and human spirits.
Carolyn.
Yes.
Let me just make a comment. If, let's say, you were going to have a healing service here.
Yes.
You come in an hour beforehand. You get everybody that can see into the spiritual realm, and you say, look around. Tell me what you see. And you'd be amazed what they see. And so you kick that stuff out.
That's right.
Before the service ever starts. Because if you don't, they are going to be playing havoc with those who are trying to receive healing up in front or wherever. So these are very practical things. And that's why it's so important. We've had too many people who can see into the spiritual realm and all they see is evil. Well, I'm sorry, but God's giving you that ability to do that so that you can cause those things to be removed in the meeting or whatever else is going on can flow properly. Because if you close your eyes and say, no, 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 I don't want to see that, you're really hurting the body of Christ. So please, I know that some of you who do have that ability, no, I don't want to be bothered with that. I want you to, because I've seen such good things happen when people take on that and it becomes part of the team ministry.
I can remember just off the top of my head, we had one service. And before we started, we did healing services on Sunday night for upteen years. I don't know how many
15.
Years. 15 years. But I remember we started one service, and Bill, we always, the prayer ministers, before the congregation got there, we'd always hold hands and we'd pray. And he'd say, you know, he'd do this every time, you know, let's just pray. Do you see anything? We'd always kick out everything we saw. This particular night, we had kicked everything out, but I saw in the parking lot what looked like a giant python. I mean, it was nasty, ugly. And what the Lord revealed is there was something very powerful there, much bigger than any of us were ever going to be able to tackle, but to pray that the Holy Spirit would keep everything down and in control. Well, what happens? Immediately we start service, and somebody in the congregation starts, what would you call it, demonstrating. And we had to call it down, and we had somebody to take them to the prayer room. We did not want the word to be disrupted. And then when we were praying that night, there was this one sweet gal I'll just never forget. I will never forget her. She was 20 or 21 years old. She was from the islands. Beautiful mixture of whatever comes from the islands. And she came to the altar and she was so despondent because she said, I know there's something inside of me I need to be released from. And we prayed and prayed and prayed over her. And the Lord basically said, this comes by prayer and fasting. And come to find out, all we could do was pray that the Lord would just keep this thing under control so she could function in life. And what it was, she was had generations and generations and generations and generations of occult. And her mother and father were in the islands and they were witch doctors. And she got saved. So therefore, she was always under attack. And I pray that the girl got total deliverance, because when she left, we had prayed and got, you know, her to some type of being comfortable. But I just wanted so bad. But the Lord revealed it to us. And when I was praying for her, it's like this serpent was just huge. I could just see it within her. And I just wanted to be able to rebuke it and her to be released. But I knew it was going to take more than just a five-minute prayer up front.
These are supernatural manifestations.
Yes. And the Lord showed it.
And they're available to everyone, every one of you, as long as you say, I'm willing.
Yes. I can also tell you, I'm half Native American. And for years and years and years and years, I would see things and feel things and sense things. And I pushed them away. And I was a Christian. I pushed them away because I thought they were evil. Because I was told, that's evil. That's from the Native Americans. And I had a pastor that said, don't push them away. Ask God to let you use them. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So discerning of spirits is not spiritual mind reading or spiritism, but it's the distinguishing of spirits. And the purpose of this manifestation is to open up the unseen world and allow us to see what is happening so that we will be protected from deception. God wants us to see. We can ask, Lord, help me to see what I'm dealing with. It's a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and it protects and it guards our Christian life, because the Bible says that Satan comes as an angel of light. And in 2 Corinthians 11:14, in the New American Standard, it says Satan comes disguised. Disguised. Sometimes you'll see things, and I think later it comes up, that sometimes you'll see things and it looks okay in the beginning, and it's an angel of light, and it's the devil's trying to do something to disrupt. Now, the disciples walked in discernment. They had the spiritual ability to discern, or the ability to see and recognize the deception in front of them. Some examples of them discerning spirits was in Acts 16:16-18, Paul was confronted with a girl with a spirit of divination. Remember, she followed Paul around for days. And she disrupted and she said, these are servants of the Most High God. And the next day, these are servants of the Most High God. Well, maybe the first day it seemed like it was really good. And the second day it seemed like, you know, she's still with us. And the third, maybe the third or fourth, Paul said, wait a minute, this is a disruption. And he finally rebuked it. He finally recognized what the spirit was, and he rebuked it, because what she was doing was drawing attention to herself, trying to make money, and she was disrupting. So that was Paul and the girl with the spirit of divination. Another example of discerning of spirits was Paul and Bar-Jesus. Now in Acts 13:6-10, there was a man by the name of Bar-Jesus, very strange name, but he was a sorcerer. And the Bible says he perverted the word of God. He perverted the word of the Lord, and later says because he did, he was struck blind. Now, it didn't say it was permanent. We don't know what happened afterwards, but it says he was temporarily struck blind. So he was a sorcerer, and he was perverting the word of the Lord. And Paul was able to discern that. And in Acts 8:14-23, there's the story of Peter and Simon the sorcerer. This sorcerer was in one of Peter's meetings, and he saw the mighty miracles and the workings of the Holy Spirit and all the things that Peter was doing, and he tried to buy the power. He said he offered him money so he would have the power. And in verse 23 says, in the New King James Version, he was poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. In other words, he was not a holy man, and he wanted something holy. We still don't know the end of the story on that either. So we just covered the first group of manifestations of revelation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Now we want to talk about a second group, and these are the power manifestations. And you'll find these three in verse 9, and they are the gifts of healing, working of miracles, and faith. And we're going to talk about the first one, gifts of healings, 1 Corinthians 12:9. Now the gifts of healing, or healings, it's actually a plural word. It's not a gift of healing. It's gifts of healings, meaning a variety. As the New King James says, it's a variety of healings. And notice the word gifts and healings are both plural. We're not sure why some translators translate it singularly as healing, because the Greek text shows it's a plural noun. So therefore, if it's plural gifts of healings, we believe it means physical, emotional, and spiritual, the three kinds of healings. A third of the ministry of Jesus, we see him healing the sick, people who were physically ill or diseased or possessed, whatever. And when this manifestation comes, we see God's divine power, what the Bible calls the power of the Lord present, or healing in action. And these gifts of healing, something we need to understand, gifts of healing are different than miracles. Gifts of healing are normally gradual. They take place over time, hours, days, weeks, months, years, and usually the healing takes place in the physical body. Many of you were not here for the last lesson or the last time we taught this, but I'll make it very, very short. I had a tragic, horrible brain injury and was in rehab for 3.5 years. And the first 5 years were horrendous. You know, God used it all, though. God used it. I want you to know that. But my healing took place over years. And it probably wasn't until we got married in 04, 05, 06. And he said, about 8 years after my accident that I actually started to see some real progress. And I went to every healing service. I had my name on every prayer request list. I didn't know much about healing, didn't know much, but I knew God healed and I was going to stand on it. So mine came gradually. They come gradually, and they usually take place in the physical body. Okay, so the physical body. Okay, we established that. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:10 and talk about the working of miracles, different than gifts of healing. The literal translation of the working of miracles is works of power. Miracles is the Greek word dunamis. You've heard that word, power. We're talking about works of power. We had healings, and now we've got miracles or works of power. And healings and miracles are closely related, but there are some differences. Healings are normally gradual, but miracles are normally instantaneous, just that fast, instantaneous. Healings take place normally within the physical body, while miracles are normally visible. You can actually see it happen, lots of times creative. Miracles are creative, something that you actually can see in front of your eyes. Last Sunday, Bill talked about whenever the Lord showed him a child's eye that was literally a creative miracle. The child was, they were getting ready to take the eye out, and God healed it. That was a creative miracle. So usually, creative miracles, you can see something like the lengthening of a short leg, or a new eye, an eye socket, or a replacement of a limb. That is a creative miracle. We were in One of the first healing services I was in when Bill and I were, we weren't really kind of dating yet, but it was so many years ago. And we had children that we had taught that actually came and helped us pray over people. So amazing. And this man had come that, teenager had come, and his leg was in this cast thing, you know, one of these metal things. I mean, he had messed up his leg bag. And the thing around it, the pant leg was tight because it was so big and swollen. And we saw this little girl that just walked in faith. Oh, bless her heart. She went over and laid hands and she prayed for it. And we saw it go. It was a creative miracle. And he walked out that night without that brace. His leg was healed. That is a creative miracle. That was just so cool.
We also saw that same night, another person had a cast from here down to the elbow. He got prayed for by one of the kids, and all of a sudden he says, it's healed, and he smashed this thing. The cast kind of split apart. He took some scissors or whatever else, cut the thing off, and he's walking around like this.
What is that called? A manifestation of faith is when God supernaturally gave him faith to believe for that miracle. Okay. Miracles normally require, and this is really important, miracles normally require some sort of act of faith and physical obedience so that the miracle-working power of the Holy Spirit is released. It usually takes faith and obedience. An example, when Jesus gave a command, usually someone did something in obedience. For instance, stretch out your hand. They had to, in faith, stretch out their hand, and they were healed. Take up your bed and walk. Throw your nets to the other side. So Jesus would make a command, and they, by faith and obedience, did what it was and were healed. That's usually how miracles work, working of miracles. Okay, so we have healings, which are gradual, miracles, which are instantaneous. Let's look at the third one, power manifestation of faith, 1 Corinthians 12:9. Now, this is important faith for the healing minister. Bill's going to talk about my faith, but we're going to talk about supernatural faith. The manifestation of faith is a supernatural faith. It's a special faith. It is, when this kind of faith happens, it's above any human level of believing, and it's something that's imparted by the Holy Spirit. It's just given. And this is very important in the healing ministry. This manifestation is a supernatural ability to believe God. All of a sudden, you'll find yourself just believing God without any human doubt, any unbelief, or any human reasoning to do just anything. It comes suddenly. I can, and it's done. It's that kind of faith. You can believe for anything. Nothing's impossible. And you know, the other thing is, you can't work it up. It's what the Holy Spirit does through you. It's just there, and you find yourself saying things you wouldn't normally say because you really do believe that they'll come to pass if you just say it. That's supernatural faith. I believe, and I don't have this in my notes, but I want to say it really quickly. My daughter, she's now 35-ish, maybe 36 by now, living in Sweden, was a missionary, still is in every respect of the word if you live in Sweden. And when she was about 13, she had a nervous breakdown. Some really bad things happened, and the doctors said she was bipolar. And she was on medications for 9 years. And I said, no, God's going to heal my daughter. How did I know that? Because he showed me in the scriptures he was the healer, and I wrote it down. And every time God would speak to me in the scriptures, I'd write it down. I said, no, but God says she's healed. God says she's healed. She's going to be healed. My faith was what she stood on, but my faith was supernatural because I know it's what God gave me. I didn't have anything to look at to believe other than God's word. And guess what? I think it was 2113. What is that, 8 years? 8 years? 8 years, she had another nervous breakdown in college. Her best friends were killed. and she was with them 15 minutes before and was supposed to be with them. If she'd been with them, God, thank you for your protection, she would be dead. But God took care of her. Two out of three of them were killed, and it's a long story. But she had another nervous breakdown, and the doctor said, some months after Bill and I were married, you know, she may be institutionalized for the rest of her life. No one pulls out of this. Well, we put her in the hospital. 4 days later, God miraculously healed her, just healed her. We prayed when we brought her home because it was a fight with the enemy for 40 days and nights. We wrestled the enemy, but God said to me, I'm going to heal her, and God healed her. She came along, and one afternoon or dinner or something, she said, Mom, you know, what do you say to people when they don't want to take their medication anymore? I said, well, they need to make sure that God tells them to not take it. She says, well, I just flushed everything down the toilet. But you know what it was? God gave her supernatural faith. And guess what? She never had one DT, one drawback, nothing. And she was on four major meds. God healed her. That is supernatural ability to believe. It just comes. Nothing's impossible. It's the ability to experience by faith. Mark 11, 22 through 23 says in the NIV, I love this, have faith in God. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, that's a supernatural belief, that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. He will have whatever he says. That is supernatural faith. My pastor that mentored me was in some country on one of these little narrow roads and should have went over the mountain. And suddenly a car came toward them, was going to push them off the road. And he said supernaturally that car jumped over his. That's supernatural. He believed that God was going to take care of them. So if there's a mountain, that supernatural faith says, toss it into the sea. Now, what's important is all of these manifestations, revelation, power, and vocal, they are all supernatural in origin and ability, and they come through the Holy Spirit as He wills. We basically have no control over them other than to be a willing vessel, open to what God wants to do with us. And you know, the thing is we can ask God. I think we've had the pastor say up here, ask God to use you supernaturally. And all we have to do is ask, and God will do it because He wants us to. He wants us to be used. God uses these to bring healing to believers and unbelievers. Now, we've talked about supernatural manifestations, and one of these, or every one of these, are available to every believer: the word of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, and discerning of spirits. 1 Corinthians 12 says, now there are different kinds of working manifestation signs, but the same God works all of them in all men. That's you and me, as the Holy Spirit sees fit. Verse 11 says, all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to eat, gives He gives them to each one just as He determines. That's the NIV. So hopefully we understand how God can use us in the healing ministry. And the reason for this chart is so that we can understand, being in the healing ministry, that we all have some kind of gift. And God wants to use this gift to motivate us in the ministry. And whenever we are not capable of doing what we need to do, that's when the Holy Spirit can come in and do it for us. That's the whole reason for learning about gifts, ministries, and manifestations. Now, whenever I first started in the ministry, well, actually, I've been in the ministry for 20 years with my ex-husband, and I went out on my own as a single woman, and I heard about all this. I said, oh, God, just give them to me all. I want all of them. Well, God downloaded everything all at once. And I didn't know what to do with it. I sensed things, saw things, felt things, knew things that I didn't know what to do with. I said, okay, Lord, you can slow down a little bit. So now I've laid all those wonderful things that God does on the altar and said, Lord, I sacrifice them to you. Now you sanctify them and I'll use them as you see fit. And when we're in the prayer room, it just seems like, and I always pray, Lord, my giftings and my ministry and the way the Holy Spirit wants to work through me, I give it to you. Sanctify it, Lord. I lay it on the altar. Use it the way you see fit. And you know what? The Lord always does it, and He works through us. Some people have received a lot of those things just like I did, and they didn't know what to do with it, and they rejected them. Don't reject what God wants to do through you. If suddenly God tells you to go and give a word and make sure it's the Lord, it may be exactly what they need. If God tells you to go and pray for someone, it may be that He may want to give you supernatural faith to see that person creatively healed. Let's look at addendums B and C. And we've talked about what God does here. Let's talk about... That's right. There. I'm going to let Bill talk about it because my voice is getting a little dry here.
In your addendum B, you will see these three columns that you had in addendum A, but we put a circle around and we've got some arrows. And what this shows us is this. And this was an example for the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul basically had the gift, the charismata, of exhortation. He always wanted to push people forward, to get them to strive more, and so he would exhort them. But then when it came to his ministry, you'll see that at one time Paul was an apostle. And at another time he went off on missionary trips as an evangelist. And he was there in Ephesus, so he was a pastor. And a lot of the writings we find he's a teacher. And we know that there were times when there were miracles and things, but the point is that whatever ministry Paul was functioning in at the time, the column over to the right, all of that was available to him to do whatever needed to be done. So that as a teacher, he could have been teaching, and so suddenly they needed to have someone healed. Well, healings could suddenly come out of his hands. Or he would speak creative words. Or what this is showing us is, and there is one right behind this one that's all marked up, it's blank, and that's for you. I want you to look at what your motivational gift is. Prophecy, serving, teaching. For me, I'm an exhorter also. But at one time, I functioned as a pastor for a number of years. Right now, I'm functioning as a teacher. When we started the church over here in Stuart, I guess they could call me an apostle at that time. But the point is that wherever we happen to find ourselves, where the Lord would have us ministering, everything, the nine manifestations, are available to us to do what we need to do to get the job done. So I would like you to kind of take the one that's blank there and say, Lord, what is my real motivation and what am I ministering in now? And then, Lord, help me to understand how I can use all of these supernatural manifestations to fulfill the plans and purposes that you have.
Yeah, this will be used, if you look at this and keep up your notes and think about it, suddenly you might see yourself in places in ways that you never have. I would say, for as far as my charismata, I know I'm an organizer leader. I see the big picture in every detail. I don't want to do all the details. I want someone else to do them. But I can see what needs to be done. But I also know I'm an exhorter. I love to encourage people. But I've also worked in all 10 of these with the exception of one ministries. And sometimes the Lord needs you in this ministry, He needs you in this ministry, He needs you in this ministry. And all of these other things, these operations or manifestations, the Lord's used at one time or another. And the funny part is He'll use almost all nine of these in the healing ministry when you're working with someone. All nine at the same time. Suddenly you'll know things and have a word of wisdom, and you can see here, you know, healings and miracles, and all of a sudden you may have a tongue and interpret it. You know, the Lord uses them all.
These are supernatural.
Yes.
This is not something that you're trying to work up. And it's for the common good. It's to help brothers and sisters and those that God is going to bring through the doors. Because I'm going to tell you something. As soon as we are trained, they're going to come through that door. Because God knows that this is a safe place. And he can send them here because he knows that they won't be hurt.